This is the day that the Lord has made, and hopefully we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, yes, yes. Well, turn to somebody and tell them, you are marvelous. You are marvelous. Yes, you are a divine energy of God. You are the divine energy of God. Tell somebody that. You are the divine energy of God. Yes, you know, we have to sometimes raise that vibration by remembering the truth of who we are. So I say welcome, welcome to all of you. Welcome to those of you who are joining us at home or on your devices or wherever you are. I'm particularly thankful that each of you, however, have decided to come to be in the presence of one another, to feel each other's energy and vibration. To enter in, what's the choir used to sing that song? Come on into this house, right? Come on in the house. And so it's very, it just does my heart wonderfully good to see you all and to have your presence here. Because, you know, I don't want to necessarily speak. I will, though, but speak to an empty house. Because that was my commitment. I will speak to whomever shows up. But I would certainly love it when this place is filled, because I can feel the vibration of God moving in and through each of you, and you can hear and feel each other. There's something very powerful and sacred about fellowship, about community, about coming together. And in the days that we are living in right now, we need to feel that love and support from one another to keep ourselves boosted up, buoyed up, encouraged, lifted up, especially when things get a little rocky. It's nice to know that there's somebody else that we can lean upon or who will share the burden and the... So I'm grateful, 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 and thankful for each of you. You've kept your divine appointment. You know it's a divine appointment, don't you? It's a divine appointment, and you've kept that divine appointment, and so I'm grateful and thankful for that. As I was sitting in my sacred place, I have a quiet place to sit and do my meditation, or I'll just sit, and it's all windows, all glass, and there's nothing but trees in the back. So I get to watch the changing of the seasons, and wherever I'm sitting there, I love that process. But part of me is thinking, I can't believe that the summer is gone. Can you believe summer's gone already? It's like, wow, summer's gone, and we are already into the fall season. And as I said, I'm fascinated by the changing of the seasons. I'm fascinated when I sit and I look in my chair, and at times I'm watching one season give way to another. At some point, the trees are bare, and all of a sudden, there's a season when I start noticing that there's a budding, and the leaves are beginning to bud on the trees, and I'm looking at that and I'm loving it. And then all of a sudden I turn around and they're in full bloom. You know, the trees are bloomed, and I'm like, wow, when did that happen? Now they're in full bloom. And I enjoy that process. And then I'll turn around and the next day or the next season or the next time I look, the leaves that were in full bloom are now red and orange and yellow. And I'm like, wow. And then I look up and they're gone. And I'm back to that season and cycle again of when they have released themselves. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a powerful time to recognize that those seasons are all signs of transitions from the bleakness and the starkness of winter, moving into the budding of spring, and then from spring moving into the wonderful time of summer, full bloom, and then we move into fall again, and then to seasons again of winter. And so it's helpful to recognize and to appreciate all the signs of transition, because nature's good at giving us signs of when the seasons are about to change. We get signs. We know now that fall, we're in the season of fall, but we know that the season of winter is not far behind. We can see that the leaves are beginning to change colors, but I've seen some of them begin to what? To drop. And so I'm watching for the signs of the season. Genesis 8:22 says this: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth exists and remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. They shall not cease. Meaning that there's always seasons of life that we might experience. Always stages that we will go through. And we call them seasons, right? And at various times, you know, we will go through some stuff. We will have some seasons of stuff. You know what I mean when there's seasons of stuff happening in your life, right? And then we'll have a time of celebration. Maybe seasons and times where we feel stuck. But yet, we also have seasons of breakthroughs, right? Time for joy. We have joy. We have sorrow. For everything, the scripture says, there is what? There is a season for everything. And the Ecclesiastes, we're all familiar with it. But it's good to hear because these are the seasons of life that we experience. And it says here, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose or activity under heaven. There's going to be a time for everything and a season for everything. And then it says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. We're having a dance on the 25th. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away, to let go. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep, cherish, and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to rend and mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And when I looked at that, I said, you know, we will experience all of these times and seasons in our lives. Have we not? You've danced, you've celebrated, you've mourned, you've laughed, you've cried, you've built up your life, you've let things go, you've planted, you've harvested and reaped the benefit. All of these things are the seasons of our lives. And it's important for us to understand, not only will we go through life, not only will we have all of these times, but we have to really be able to remember that we may go through these, but it's important for us to know what to do when we're in a particular season. What to do when you're in a particular season? What to do when you're in? What to do when you're in your season of celebration? What to do and when to do it? Because there's a time for everything. So timing is important. When to do it. And throughout all of this, the last thing that I love that it says in certain scriptures that at time, God knows the purpose and the time and has a plan for everything. A plan for every season. A plan and a purpose for every experience. You may be in your season of mourning, but there's a purpose and a plan for your mourning. God knows what to do. God knows what that experience is trying to teach you or bring to you. See, so we have to recognize, this is a season or a time that I may be going through, but I've got to learn how to access God when in whatever season I find myself in, and especially how to I access God when I'm in those seasons that are especially tough and challenging. And the seasons where I'm experiencing some seemingly low state, low experience, or I'm a season where I'm having a challenging time and a challenging season where nothing seems to be going right. Have you had those seasons where you just, nothing seems to be going right? You've tried everything and somehow it's not working out for you. You've had those seasons of drought. And so when we're in, we know how to celebrate the good times. We know what to do when the joy and the laughter and the abundance and the blessings, all that's flowing. We just go with the flow with that. It's those seasons of challenge and maybe difficulty that we seem to stumble and maybe perhaps falter a little bit and forgetting what to do in that season. And to remember that it is just that, it's a season. One of the things that helps us to move through those seasons in which we are experiencing things that we would rather not, the first thing is to remember that not only just as the seasons change, the seasons of our lives are also transitional. See, sometimes when you're in a season of a low vibration or a low experience, you think you're going to be in that season, right? And we get down, and, oh my God, it's just a season. The scripture says what? This too shall do what? Pass. It's a season. Everything will change. Every season. There isn't a season that lasts forever. As the scripture said, trouble don't last forever. There are times. And so sometimes if you're in the middle of a season that is not to your liking, remember it's transitional. And it has come for a purpose. To teach, to heal, to bless, whatever. But if we can remember that it is just situational, it's just something that is happening. And if we can be present to whatever is happening in the season, in the moment, in the experience, that we will transition out of it in due season. I love that phrase, what? In due season. Because sometimes you're in the season and I want another season. When the winter comes, it's like, oh man, I want summer to be here now. Why can't I have summer? Now I can torture myself about summer, or I can just say, you know what? Summer will be here in what? In due season. Let me relax and be present to the winter of my life. Let me see what this winter experience is bringing me. Maybe the Spirit is saying it's time for you to sit and be quiet and be still. And then there's a season where you need to move and you need to groove and you need to grow and you need to be, you know, active. For everything, there is a season and a purpose. One of the things that I love is from Galatians 6:9, and it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So in those seasons when, you know, I'm at a low point, I have to remember, don't grow weary in your well-doing. For in due season you shall reap, but you shall reap if you do what? If you faint not. So I have to keep in my remembrance, this is not going to last forever. It's a season that I'm experiencing. It's a situation that I'm going through. It may be a challenging one, but I know that God has a purpose for me being in this season and in this situation. And if I can understand the purpose, I grow and I go through it and I grow through it without being weary. Sometimes, as you know, I like to follow all the things that are happening in our world with the political season that we're in. And it's a challenging one. It's a scary one. And I, you know, part of me doesn't want to jump ahead to what if. What if this one gets elected as opposed to this one? Lord, we're going to be in some seasonal stuff over here that will be challenging. And Spirit said, yes, but it's just a season. If that comes, you know what to do. It's not going to last forever. Now, I might not see the change in my lifetime, but I know that it will do what? It will change. And everything is coming for a purpose. We are in the season of rebirthing. We are in the seasoning of awakening. We are in the seasoning of a transition. And sometimes when you're giving birth to something, it's challenging, it's painful, it's ugly, it's hard. But that's okay. In due season, you shall reap the expression and the birth of a new experience and a new expression. So, you know, let's not grow weary in well-doing. Do our part. Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So, when things get rough and tough, that's the time. That's the time for us to remember the truth that we have planted in consciousness. When things are looking shaky and shady or whatever, that's the time for everything. There is a time and a purpose and a season. That's the time to remember, well, what was planted in my consciousness, in my heart, and in my mind. So that is what I hold on to. That is what can reproduce itself in my time of need. That's if you have sown into your heart. If you've sown into your mind the things of God. If you've sown into your awareness spiritual principles, spiritual teachings, spiritual connections. If you've sown that deep into your heart and your consciousness, then there'll be a time, because you've planted that, that you shall what? Reap the harvest of it. It shall manifest for you. If you have sown into your own heart and mind. You know, we have a chance to sow wonderful seeds into little children. We want to sow good things into them, right? We want to speak good things, speak the truth to them, so that that image and that message gets planted deep in their spirit and soul, so they know who they are at a young age. We have to do the same for ourselves. Which is why working on consciousness, doing your affirmations is important. Studying is important. You know, I've been on this path for well over 50 years actively and consciously, and I'm still what? Still studying. I still get my scripture out, my Bible, and read it. Every time I do a talk, I have to spend time in the scriptures, and I let it just, you know, bring to my remembrance. Take classes. You can't afford the luxury of being absent-minded. So keep sowing into your awareness and in your consciousness. It's extremely important, which is why we come together and we gather with each other so that, you know, we can sow into each other's lives. I come in and I see somebody. I have a smile on my face. They have a smile. We've just sown, you know, joy into one another's field of consciousness. And that's a beautiful thing that we have to do. So we have to know how to access the Spirit of the Living God when we're in a particular season. And you have to know what season you're in. This is important. It's helpful to know what season you're in your life, and then what to do when. This is important. Timing, you got to know what season you're in your life and know when to do a particular thing. You got to know the season when it's time to plant. You don't pluck when the season is time to plant, and you don't want to plant when it's time to pluck. Right? Because you're not going to bear good fruit. You're going to be all mixed up. And half the time, we're not sure what season we're in, so we're just willy-nilly doing. What is happening in your life? Is it a time to be still? And yet you're flailing around seeking answers. Who's got the answers to my question? Maybe you are in a season of stillness and quiet. Or maybe you've been in that season quiet a little bit too long. You got quite comfortable. I'm in my season of quiet. I'm in my season of stillness, and the Spirit has been telling you, move. It's time to move. It's time to act. You got to know what season you are in, and then what to do when you're in that season. Having right action and right awareness, because that makes life easier for you. You know, back in the day, knowing what season you were in, and knowing what to do and when to do it was extremely important, because your life actually depended upon it. You know, if you think about how our grandparents and great-grandparents and them before, those who came before them and way, way back, they had to read the signs of the seasons. They read the stars. They understood what was happening and when was it time to plant, when was it time to do so-and-so, because their lives depended upon it. That's when they were, you know, we were focusing on being hunters and gatherers. You had to know when to hunt and how to hunt. And you had to know when to plant and when to gather. Because your life depended upon it. The sustenance and the food that you got from hunting and gathering depended upon your knowing when to do it and how to do it. Reading the signs of the seasons. Very, very important, because your life back then depended upon it. Why? Because when you know, when the earth said it's time to plant or it's time to pluck, you needed to be able to plant so you could have good crops and a good harvest when the harvest time came, so that you could store the food when you were in your season of winter, when it was cold and you couldn't plant. You had to know how you could do enough planting that would last you until what? The next season, through the seasons of cold and winter. Because your life depended upon it. You know, we're so spoiled. We go to the grocery store. Don't matter what season we're in, just go to the grocery store. Get the food we want. But somebody is planting and harvesting so that we could what? Go to the store. And so we're blessed. But life also presents us with opportunities where we need to know, you know what? This is time for me to be still. It's time for me to act. It's time for me to pray. It's time for me to sing. It's time for me to affirm. It's time for me to heal. It's time for me to let go. It's time for me to gather in my friends and relationships. It's time for me to release those friends and relationships that I need to. All of it. It makes life easier for us. Just as they read the seasons of the time, we have to do that as well. 2 days ago, we had a supermoon, and it was called a supermoon, but it was also, it's also called a hunter's moon. And as I was researching this, did you know that each full moon has a name or a nickname that's associated with whatever is happening on the earth, whatever is supposed to be happening on the earth at that time? So October's full moon is called a hunter's moon. And just like the one, because the hunter's moon is very bright. It was a supermoon. Very, very bright. Have you ever looked up and the moon looks so low? It looks like it's just hanging low, and it's big and it's beautiful and it's bright. Or maybe like my favorite moon in the month before, which is September, which is a harvest moon. And in the harvest moon, the moon actually looks orange. Have you ever seen the moon looking orange? It looks so bright and so full. It just depends upon the moon seems closer. It looks bigger. It's the same size, but it looks bigger to us because it's closer to the earth at the equinox, the autumnal equinox. So it looks closer and it looks brighter and it looks bigger. And it looks like it's changing colors. But that was a signal. Oh, okay, harvest moon, it's time. Hunter's moon. See, so it was so bright that the hunters could even hunt in the dark. They had more light to see by in which to hunt their prey at night. And the hunt and the gatherers, the farmers and at that time loved the harvest moon because it was so bright that they could actually then harvest their crops well into the night. And you needed to be able to work. Work, work. You know, they say from sun up to sundown, those farmers worked. And some would work late into the evening because the sun offered them that much light. So a harvest moon was welcomed, or a hunter's moon was welcomed. It enabled them to really do their work. And so, you know, they could see for a longer period of time. And that meant a lot. It meant survival. It meant the ability to, you know, store your food and do what you needed to do to prepare for the winters of your life. Now, most of us, everybody, I think, we all want to be blessed by a good harvest. Anybody here not want to be blessed by having a good harvest or a good manifestation in your life? To be blessed by that? Whatever that good harvest represents for you, it might be, and I want to be blessed by the harvest of abundance. Good, you know, I want to be blessed by the manifestation of peace or health, whatever it is. We all want the blessings of a good harvest. We want good results We want good, strong manifestations that somehow reflect the hard work and the effort that we put into our goals and our dreams and our desires. We want to reap. Don't you want to reap the goodness of whatever work you've put into to achieve? We all want that. And yet we also know people, some folks, that somehow want to reap the benefits of a good harvest or a strong and good manifestation without doing the work. We've all known people like that. And maybe if we're honest, we've been people like that from time to time. We just want our blessings. I don't want to do the hard work. But I want the benefits. And thank God there are times, of course, under grace where we do in fact reap when we have not really sown. We've all had the blessings of grace where we've reaped from the fields that we did not sow in. And thank God there is grace. Thank God that we have blessings that we can benefit from without our having to do the work. That's what grace is. It's unmerited favor of God. It's the goodness of God. And thank God we all get to experience some grace. But this is also true that from time to time, more often than not, we will be required to put some effort into our blessings or manifestations, some effort, some work into achieving what we want in our lives. We have to sow in the fields of our consciousness to reap the kind of life we want to manifest. And grace is always working, but we must work. Jesus said, I work and my Father works. So my Father works and I work. Yes, the grace will be there, but you don't want to sit back in life and just say, I'm just waiting for grace to bless me. There's a time and a purpose and a season for everything, right? Which means you got to get up and do some work. You've got to plant, sow into the field of your consciousness so that you can reap the kind of life you want to manifest. If you want to manifest more love in your life, you got to sow some seeds of what? Of love. You want to manifest more abundance in your life? Sow into your consciousness the seeds of abundance, of prosperity. That is, you know, when I talk about seeds, I'm talking about the divine word of God, the spiritual principles are the seeds of life, the divine ideas of life, the divine idea of health or wholeness. And if I have a health challenge, then I need to be about the business of sowing in some divine ideas of what? Of health and wholeness into my consciousness so that I can reap in the manifest world and in my body that which I'm desiring. So the seeds that you sow in the soil of your consciousness is extremely important. Which is why, you know, Charles Fillmore used to say, make sure if you're going to get something, get you a divine idea. Get the seed, the word of God, the word of truth. Hold on to those words because you want to sow them into your consciousness so that when you are in a season of challenge, when you are in a season of whatever it is, lack of prosperity, whatever it is, that you have sown the seeds of blessing, of fulfillment, right? Of abundance, of whatever it is, of life, of security, whatever. You've sown those seeds into your consciousness. And that takes work. That's our work. It takes work. We have to tend the soil of your mind, tend to the soil of your heart, which is why, you know, the scripture says, guard your heart. With all diligence, because out of it is going to come the abundance of life. You know, guard your mind, because out of it's going to come the manifestations of your life. What are you sowing into your heart? What seeds are lying there? Are they seeds of faith and truth and hope and positivity? You know, like I said, in this, as I watched this whole political scene, one person sowing seeds of hope, seeds of goodness, seeds of unity, seeds of possibility, seeds of the future. And another is sowing seeds of fear, seeds of division, seeds of doubt, seeds of hate, seeds of, you know, limitation. And we're going to reap one of these. One of these we're going to reap. But we've got to do the work. So in the outer, we know the work we have to do to handle that. But what happens in your own being? Are you aware of the seeds you have sown into your life? And what are you sowing at any particular time? Plant good seeds, God seeds, reap good fruit, bear good fruit, God manifestation. This is why we have to do it constantly, because we're always being inundated by other things coming into our awareness. The news. I'm very selective about what news I look at. And I don't really do TV news anymore because they're kind of off. So I have places that I go that I'm going to get what I consider to be clear truth, but in a positive way that gives me hope and lets me know truthfully what I believe is happening. So I'm working with what I let. You know, Jesus gave so many parables about what are you letting come into your heart, letting you come into your mind. Focus on these divine ideas. Divine ideas are very powerful. These divine ideas, the living creative ideas of God, are what you want to plant and cultivate. Because if a divine idea is not just some simple thought held in the God, in God mind. Divine ideas come complete and whole with everything that you need, that it needs to fulfill itself. And the beauty about divine ideas is that they are infinite. So it can show up. A simple divine idea of abundance. It can show up. Abundance can show up in an infinite number of ways. It's not limited. The divine idea of health can show up an infinite number of ways. Right? The divine idea of peace can manifest an infinite number of ways. That's the beauty of a divine idea in itself. Within it is infinite possibilities, infinite potentialities. It's not limited. So we want to get these God thoughts and make sure that we are sowing the right seeds. And not only are we sowing the right seeds, but we are cultivating the soil, which is our mind, our heart, our consciousness, cultivating where you're planting these seeds. Because if I take a divine idea, a good seed, and I plant it in some negative soil, negative consciousness, what do you think I'm going to reap? Right. But I'll be hoping to get some good stuff. Well, what happened? I thought I was planting a good word, a good seed. Yeah, but you planted it in some bad soil. Your mind, your heart. So therefore you have mixed stuff, and what you get is a whole bunch of a mixture of stuff. It's told, Jesus tells it very clearly in the parable of the sower. And we all have heard this one, and we're very familiar with it, I would assume. But sometimes it's good to just hear these things again. And the parable of the sower. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat, and there he sat, and he taught the people that stood on the shore. He told many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. He said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the sun since they didn't have deep roots, and they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone who hears with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then the disciples ask him at this point, why do you always talk to us in parables? And he goes on to tell them, well, that's because you're permitted to know. He says, okay, you're permitted to know these things, but I'll interpret it for you. So here's his interpretation. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath path represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. They hear it, it's words, it's just kind of words, but it's going, right? And he says they don't understand it. And then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So they don't understand it because they don't have any roots, boom, gone. The seed that was on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. We come to church, we hear the message, we're feeling good. We leave here, because that's always my aim, that at least you leave here with the message and you leave here feeling good. It's never my intention to have you leave here feeling that you're worth nothing and you're a sinner and you blah, 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 so you walk out of here. Ooh. No, 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 no. We in unity say, let's lift each other up. So good. So you come in here and you hear the word. And it says the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. So we leave here feeling good on Sunday, and we weary again on Monday. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I've been there. Okay? We can't. It's not consistent. We're not able to maintain the consciousness and the truth that we know. We fall up and down. He says they fall away. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So we feel good until we have a problem. Then all of a sudden that seed is gone and we all up into the problem, right? The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. We hear it, but then you go amongst people who are not like-minded, people who are full of negativity, and all of a sudden you're listening to that word, and all of a sudden you start feeling bad, you're feeling negative, you're feeling hopeless, you're feeling down. You got to watch the company you keep. You got to watch what kinds of seeds your friends and families are sowing around you. Lest you start grabbing that as well, and you get choked by the worries of the world, right? It's very hard. He says, but the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's powerful. The seed that fell on good soil, the consciousness that is open and receptive to the word of God, and it is cultivated, can receive this word. And not only that, but it represents those that hear and understand. And the word then will begin to produce a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, this is powerful because this is what the quality of the seeds we plant in consciousness can do for us. When you plant a seed, certain seeds, or the nature of the seed, it's good for us to understand the nature of seeds and the importance of cultivating our consciousness, right? Making sure that what we are planting is what we want to have manifest in our lives. And when you plant a certain seeds, the seed of God, the word of God, divine ideas, you plant truth, these divine ideas are what? They're infinite in their possibilities. And so you want to keep watering them. You want to keep feeding them. You want to feed the soil of your mind so that you have roots, right? You want to keep coming to church, reading the word, taking a class, reading something positive so that you can begin to develop deep roots. So when the stuff comes and the winds blow and all that stuff happens out here, you are rooted and grounded in the truth. Your seeds have the time and the energy to bring forth great manifestation in your life, even in the midst of a recession or a depression or whatever's happening out here that's limited. If you've planted good seeds in your consciousness, you can produce. And not only can you produce, but you can produce 30, 60, 100 times more than what you planted. That's the power and beauty of a seed. Take an apple seed, and you plant an apple seed, that seed can grow into what? An apple tree. And that apple tree can then produce what? More apples that have what in them? More seeds. And within those seeds, within those apples, there are, guess what? More seeds, more apples, right? And within those apples and those trees and those seeds are more seeds and more apples. You see, it's infinite. That's the power of planting divine ideas, the word of God, the seed of God, thoughts and energy into your consciousness. Because that way you begin to not only grow roots, but the truth that you're seeking, the blessings that you're seeking, grow exponentially. Your blessings aren't limited. They keep growing and unfolding. And you do it enough so that you water this consciousness you have, so that when the challenges come, they're not going to weaken your growth, not going to weaken your potentiality. Because sometimes it's us who's standing in our own way of accessing our good, right? Of accessing the harvest. Jesus said in John 4:35, the fields are already ripe for harvest. And I love that. The fields are already ripe for harvest, meaning that in God's field, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's high consciousness, everything is already provided. The fields are already ripe for harvest, right? It's already ripe for harvest. We have to know how to access it. The good that you're seeking is already available. It's already there. But we have to know how to access it, right? We have to know how to get that. And to do it in what we call, you know, divine timing. To trust the process. Because divine timing is also, you know, very important. You want to plant your seeds so that you can grow the fruits of life and love and joy and peace. But you also have to know the timing of when to plant it. And you got to know, it says the timing of the harvest is ripe. But you also, in real time, you got to know when to harvest, when to pick. Because if you pick a fruit that's not really ripe and ready, guess what? It ain't going to be good. I've bitten into some peaches that look so wonderful. And they are hard as rocks. No sweetness. No juiciness, because they weren't ripe. I've also bitten into things that were too ripe, beyond the season of when to pick. They needed to be picked, and they were not, so they're overripe. But in God's kingdom, the fields of harvest are already ripe. They're ready. It's ready for us. Not too soon, not too late. But in divine time, I love divine time, because sometimes I want to move too quick and sometimes I'm too late. But in God's time, the harvest is always ripe and ready when I can get my consciousness to be in tune and in alignment with the goodness of God. Then everything that I'm seeking is available. And the quality of my soil, I'm working on the quality of my soil, which is my consciousness right now. I don't want it too rocky. I don't want a whole bunch of thorns. I don't want it where it's just shallow. I need my consciousness to be that of good soil, where I am holding on to the truth. And I'm planting seeds, God's divine ideas in my heart and in my mind. And I'm steadily watering it and nurturing it and cultivating my field so that I can bear good fruit. And at the right time, I not only bear fruit, but before that, the bearing of the fruit, I'm willing to do the work. In God's kingdom, it's always harvest time. It's always there. But the process, the question is, where are we in the process of life? And how much work are you willing to put into your own life, in your own consciousness, the development, the cultivation? You know, sometimes you got to weed out some of those things. We talked about, you got to weed out some of those thoughts that are choking you to death. You got to weed out the fear, weed out the doubt, and sow in some more faith and water that faith a little bit and keep working on it so that you can produce what you want. How much labor are you willing to put in so that you can yield the fruit you desire? Sometimes you got to labor. Jesus also said, he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We don't, you know, do you want to do the work? It's there. God's kingdom is already ripe for the harvest. It's there. But you have to do your work. You do your part. And when you do your part and you cultivate your own consciousness, that is that your consciousness and the soil of your heart, the soil of your mind can remain healthy and peaceful. You root out if you've got anger, you've got, you know, a whole bunch of judgment. Root out those things in your heart. Tend to your own mind and heart. What kind of a soul are you becoming? What kind of soil are you planting these wonderful seeds in so that you can yield and bear the fruit that you desire, the blessings of God, and that you can continue to grow exponentially and expand, because seeds expand. I want the seeds of God to expand in my life. What did the prayer of Jabez say? Oh, increase my territory. Increase my blessings, Lord. But I need to make sure that I am a good vessel, that I am a vessel in which to plant God's word, God's presence, God's blessings. So let us not grow weary in well-doing. We have a work to do. But in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. What is the season of your life? And in God's kingdom, in God's season, it's always harvest time. Claim your good. Prosper. Be blessed. Ah, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Your life is meant to be blessed. So, plant well. For everything, there's a season. Understand the season that you're in and go and do the work. It's harvest time. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.